everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Welcome to the second part of episode 117. This is going to be fun. We all love survival stories, do we not? Watching men and women find food and water, seeing them build shelters out of sticks, stones, and leaves. It's a common theme on reality television. Occasionally, though, in real life, we hear real survival stories. People who were confronted with death and managed to escape it. Today, you'll hear the incredible story of Aaron Ralston. You may know his story already if you've seen the movie 127 Hours. If you haven't, you're in for a ride. Take a deep breath, though. Aaron is going to live. This is a survival story. Although, if you are eating, if you're having lunch right now, you might want to pause this episode and wait until you've digested your food. It gets pretty gruesome. Canyonlands National Park in Utah is a gem. Red rock formations and oddly shaped peaks make up its unique landscape. It's the home of prehistoric cultures from over 10,000 years ago. And there are rock markings on cave walls that you can see for yourself. At night, it boasts one of the most spectacular views of the night sky in the United States due to the fact that there's virtually no light pollution. According to the National Park Service, if you lie down in the canyon at night and look up into the sky, you can see up to 15,000 stars, whereas in a city, you might only see around 500. Hundreds of thousands of visitors come to this iconic park each year to climb sandstone spires, float on rafts down the canyon rivers, and take advantage of a number of other activities the park has to offer. Aaron Ralston was one of them. He's an adventurer. At the young age of 13, Ralston moved to Colorado, the heart of the Rocky Mountains, and he soon became a passionate mountaineer. A mountaineer is someone who climbs mountains as a sport, the goal usually being to reach a peak or the summit of a mountain, right? That's the very top of a mountain, a peak or summit. In his early 20s, Aaron quit his job at Intel to climb. He decided he wanted to become the first person to ever climb all of Colorado's 14,000-foot peaks alone and in wintertime. Solo hiking, after all, was his thing, and it's one of the reasons his life was about to change. On April 26, 2003, Aaron woke up, threw two burritos in his backpack, and headed out to Blue John Canyon. Blue John Canyon is just south of Canyonlands in southern Utah. And in his eyes, it wasn't dangerous, per se. In fact, he later described Blue John Canyon as a walk on the beach, which is just a playful way to say it was easy. It was a cakewalk. It was a piece of cake. It was a walk on the beach. He'd done things much harder. On that particular day, he didn't let anyone know where he was going, and he didn't have a cell phone on him. Out in nature, he surely wouldn't have cell phone service anyway, so why bring one? Off he went, and the day was going fairly well, until he descended into a slot canyon. A slot canyon is a very narrow canyon, one that you might need to turn sideways to get through. And on his way down, he dislodged a boulder. He knocked it out of its original place, and it began to fall from above in his direction. And to prevent it from crushing him to pieces, he lifted his hands to protect himself. But within an instant, an 800-pound boulder was sitting on his arm. You know the feeling of slamming your finger in a door? He describes the pain as being 100 times worse than that. The real problem, though, was that he was trapped. He couldn't budge. He was literally stuck between a rock and a hard place. There's a lot of different ways to react to such an unfortunate predicament. He remembers immediately considering ways to get out. Number one, he could wait for other hikers to pass. But he was 50 feet down in a slot canyon and 5 miles from a dirt road. The chances of a hiker casually passing by and seeing him, well, that was slim to none. Number two, he could try and move the boulder by creating a pulley and connecting it to the boulder that was above him. Having a background as a mechanical engineer, it seemed like a challenging but reasonable solution. Number three, he could chip away, in other words, break in little pieces, chip away at the boulder that had landed on his arm. Number four, he could cut off his arm so he could amputate himself. The last two options would require a knife, and he had one in his backpack. It was part of a multi-tool. A multi-tool is exactly what it sounds like. It's a portable device with a number of tools that can extend out from it. For example, you might find a little can opener on a multi-tool, pliers, blades, a saw, miniature scissors perhaps. Sure, he would try and chip away at the boulder using his multi-tool, but he definitely didn't want to cut off his arm. I mean, it was too soon, first of all. And secondly, his little knife wasn't sharp enough to cut through his bones. He was sure of that. So he waited and tried to remain calm. He also calculated how much time he could stay there with what food and water he had available. It wasn't much. 2 burritos, a bottle of water. Over the next day and night, and the following day and night, he ate and drank very little. When he ran out of water, he filled his bottle with urine and drank to avoid getting dehydrated. After a few days and nights and numerous attempts to escape, it became very clear that he was going to die there, either from starvation, dehydration, hypothermia, or blood loss if he tried to cut off his arm. So he came to terms with the situation. On day 5, he carved his name into the rock wall next to him. A-R-O-N. And then R-I-P, rest in peace. And then his birth month and what he thought would be his death month. Then he took a mini handheld camera that he had in his backpack, set it on the rock in front of him, and made a video where he shared his will and his goodbyes to his friends and family. He asked whoever came across the video to please deliver it to his parents. That same night, on the 5th night, something extraordinary happened. Aaron had a vision of himself as an older man playing with a little blonde-haired boy who was about 3 years old. It was an out-of-body experience. He was in a living room, and he could see that he was missing his right arm. Sure, death was near, but that little boy, in his vision, gave him the courage to make it until sunrise. Could it be his future son? He didn't know. It was day 6, and Aaron hadn't moved in almost 127 hours. Up until that point, In spite of his circumstances, he remained calm. And that's when all of the pent-up frustration came out. He was fed up. He started chipping away again at the boulder with his knife, this time more eagerly, and then accidentally sliced part of his finger. Curious then, he thought, what would it feel like if I stuck my knife into my thumb? He did it. Half an inch in, and he couldn't feel anything. It felt like inserting a knife into a, quote, slab of warm butter. Except when he took it out, an audible hissing sound was released. What was that sound? Turns out, it was decomposition gases that had been forming inside of his arm. His forearm had been decomposing over the past 5 days, while still attached to his body. It freaked him out so much, he started to move more quickly, twisting and turning and yanking his arm with all of his might. That's when something incredible happened. He examined his arms, and it dawned on him that bones are breakable. If he twisted and turned enough, he could break his own bones, and then cut through the soft tissue to amputate his arm. A dull or blunt knife, in other words, a knife that is not sharp, could certainly cut through everything else other than the bones. He had found a solution to his biggest problem, how he could separate himself from his own arm. Listen to how Aaron describes it.
The smile came over me. I was euphoric as I went about first breaking one bone and then contorting my body to break the second bone and then using the knife to cut through the various tissues, including the nerve, which was 1,000 times worse than having that boulder crushing my hand. But even as I got through that most intense pain, I knew that I was going to get out of there. I'm going to die at some point, but I'm not going to die here. I'm going to get out of this place.
It took over an hour to complete the amputation. Once complete, Aaron was left with a bloody stump, and he put on a tourniquet to stop the bleeding. Then he gathered his things and trekked back through the canyon. Outside, he saw a pool of water, and he stopped and drank for about 15 minutes. Then he saw a Dutch family who was able to call for help. By then, he had already gone down a 60-foot rappel he had set up, then hiked 7 miles before reaching a steep incline. In order to get back to his truck, he would need to climb 800 vertical feet. If you don't use feet or miles, then these numbers might not have the same effect on you as they do on me. A 60-foot rappel is almost about 20 meters. A hike of 7 miles is over 11 kilometers. This took up to 4 hours. 4 hours with an arm missing. He was losing blood and energy with every step. The only reason he was able to continue for so long was because of adrenaline. What happened next was sort of a miracle. When he reached that steep incline, a helicopter appeared overhead, looking for him. Instead of climbing the 800 vertical feet back up to his truck, which is 243 meters, the helicopter picked him up and carried him to the hospital for medical attention. The timing was impeccable. It couldn't have been planned better. Aaron was 27 years old when he went on this solo adventure that would cost him his arm. Those 6 days he spent trapped in southern Utah changed his life forever. Physically, he was weaker. By day 6, he had lost 40 pounds, including 25% of his blood. And he needed a prosthetic arm to replace the arm he'd left in the canyon. Mentally, though, he grew stronger. The boulder taught him a number of things about himself. He became deeply appreciative of the people in his life and grateful for life itself. After the incident, media attention was instant, and he used the spotlight to inspire others. He became a motivational speaker, and to this day, he speaks to audiences about making hard decisions. They're inevitable. We all have to do it at some point. At the end of one of his motivational speeches, he tells the audience, "May your boulders be your blessings." You can interpret this as you please. Even after losing his arm, Aaron went on to complete his goal of becoming the first human ever to climb all of Colorado's 14,000-foot mountains alone during winter time. There are 59. In 2008, he climbed Mount Everest and went on polar expeditions to the North and South Poles. He then published an autobiography titled Between a Rock and a Hard Place, which landed in the New York Times bestsellers list for nonfiction. Eventually, that helped turn his story into film. 127 hours, the film was created about him and his endeavor in the rocks in Blue John Canyon. That was nominated for 6 Oscars back in 2011. Around that time, Aaron was invited for many interviews, and hosts wanted to know, does he still take risks? His answer is, not so much. He doesn't need to prove himself anymore. His priorities have changed, especially when he became a father to a little blonde boy named Leo, just like the little boy in his vision. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed Aaron's story. And if I can give my 2 cents, if you ever go hiking by yourself, leave a note for your mother and bring a sharp knife. Hope you're having a nice day. And until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.